Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, to a very special day after edition of the Junkyard Dogcast. Happy New Year, everybody. I am Jordan Hill. With me this morning is Rusty Mansell. And Rusty, we are still kind of wrapping our heads around what we saw in Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night, talking about Georgia pulling off an incredible, at sometimes an improbable, 42-41 victory. Georgia beats Ohio State, moving on to the national championship game where they will play TCU next Monday in L.A. We'll get into some of the details about what happened, how it all went down, how Georgia won this thing. But Rusty, just off the cuff, you know, what was last night like for you? And I mean, just what did it take for this Georgia team to win this game?
Well, particularly in that building, you know, you Georgia fans have been through some heartache and some big games. You know, I was actually standing on the goal line in 2018 where Alabama throws the second 26 touchdown. So you kind of remember those reactions. And then you remember the reactions of the next year SEC championship game. So when Georgia got to that late moment in that game, you're thinking, man, are they about to add another, you know, a loss, a heartbreaking loss in that building? But, you know, as we get into more discussion on it, Georgia was at the point, Jordan, where they had to make stops. They had to get three and outs. They had to have a missed field goal. They had to have all those things to win it. But they came back and got it done, and they kept checking boxes. You basically would say, look, if they're going to win this game, they got to make this play. Well, they did. And, you know, it was just we were sitting there and just thinking they're down 14. And you basically said it. If they score right here, it's ball game. And Georgia held them. So many key plays. You go back. I actually went back and watched as much as I could this morning. But so many key plays in that game for Georgia to pull this thing off.
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible. And in that moment, you know, one of the cliches with football is it's a game of inches. And yeah. and there were just so many moments, and I wrote about this in my snap judgment story. What if they don't get Brock Bowers that first down like they initially called on the field? Mm-hmm. They call him short. Those points wound up mattering for Georgia. I think about, too, Kirby Smart calling that timeout on the fake, what would have been a fake punt, you know, even if he doesn't have the chance to call it, or if the officials don't give it to him. You know, you see plenty of times where you've got a coach calling for a timeout and whether an official just doesn't hear it. You know, if that happens, that extends an Ohio State drive. Just a series of moments that at the end of the day winds up mattering. And, you know, I think you got to give credit to a Georgia defense that, I mean, oh my God, you know, they lose Chaz Chambliss. You got guys cramping, Mikel Williams, Robert Beal. I mean, they're just trying to get through this thing. And, you know, I mean, and we talked about it as it happened. You know, when C.J. Stroud breaks that long run, it might have been like 27 yards. I'm sitting there thinking.
I actually tweeted it. I said that's probably a dagger.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Georgia there. So to get to that point. But, you know, this is a Georgia podcast, but we would not be doing our job if we didn't say what a game C.J. Stroud played. You know, I talked about it. From the moment that matchup was said, this was a dangerous, dangerous matchup. And Georgia has lost two games, one in 2020 and one in 2021. And there's been a common denominator, elite quarterback play and elite wide receivers. And Ohio State had that. And they almost lost to that. You know, they didn't. But you know, CJ Stroud, tip of the cap for the game he played. And I think somebody said in the press box last night, they wouldn't mind watching him play 8 games next year in that Mercedes-Benz with a Falcons jersey on, because that guy is special.
That's what I was sitting there thinking. I was hoping Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, was in the house for that. Mm-hmm. 23 of 34, which this was pretty nuts. Both quarterbacks were 23 of 34. CJ was for 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. By comparison, Stetson Bennett was 23 of 34, 398 yards, 3 touchdowns, had the 1 interception. But just a crazy game. I mean, you think too, you know, I was talking about the game of inches, things like that. Javon Bullard getting to Marvin Harrison on just that. I wanted to ride it and call it like a jackpot ball. Like you're playing with your friends in the backyard and you're firing one up and yelling, you know, 500 points, go get it. And Javon gets there and, you know, makes a violent hit. And I mean, it winds up getting Marvin Harrison Jr. hurt. And, you know, at the time they call it targeting, and that's a fresh set of downs for Ohio State. Great field position, probably an opportunity to score a touchdown. They review it, wind up not upholding the targeting penalty, which also would have meant Javon leaves the game. Yep. But I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, just a shame that he got hurt. 5 receptions, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's every bit as good, if not better, I think, than his father. And his father was an incredible receiver.
Yeah, I was his dad. We're pretty similar in age there. So I'll say this, you know, Ohio State, a lot of injuries. Georgia, a ton of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I pointed to you at one time last night, late in the game, and I'm talking about the most important part of the game. Georgia had Jalen Walker, true freshman. Georgia had Bear Alexander, true freshman. Georgia had Michael Williams, true freshman, on the defensive line. I mean, they were gassed. They were down to these young kids. Kirby said in his press conference after the game last night, listen, they got to play. So we'll get more into the injury stuff as it goes on, but Georgia is a very, very, very banged up defensive team. They're going to face a quarterback again now that next week, the national championship game. But, you know, I'll say this, CJ Stroud earned every bit of recognition he got, and everybody in the country is talking about him. But I'll tell you this, Stetson Bennett certainly worthy of what he did. And they were coming toward us on that last drive, and he made 2 throws in that last drive when he goes 5 for 5. You think about it. Last year when they trailed Alabama, when Alabama goes ahead on the fumble play, Stetson Bennett goes 7 for 7 for the rest of the game. So when Georgia needed Stetson Bennett the most again, this guy goes 5 for 5, and he dropped 2 balls in some windows. That ball to Brock Bowers across the middle, if you go back and look at that replay, you're talking about a tight window and some zip on the ball. You know, I'm not going to get into NFL, you know, evaluations and those types of things with Stetson Bennett, but if he can make those throws and continue to make those throws, he's going to have a real good opportunity to get a hard look at Sunday football.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if maybe Terry Fontenot looked at him as well, maybe, and try to throw him in there if CJ's not there.
At some point, you got to keep just, you know, everybody just keeps doubting the kid. You know, I don't know what else he can do, and he's one game away from being back-to-back national champions, and walk on, and the story's incredible. They basically told him you're not going to play, and a couple of injuries, and they had to play him. So, but Stetson Bennett, man, he you know, he had a couple of throws last night. I know he wants back. You know, that lateral late was, you know, if you saw Kirby at the press conference, I mean, he just closed his eyes thinking about it, which I thought was hilarious. But when Georgia needed Stetson Bennett the most, and I talked to Warren McClendon, I actually talked to Marius Mims in the locker room. And I said, what was the message when y'all went on the field last night? He said, there wasn't a whole lot of talking. We just knew we had to do our job because Stetson's done this before. And when you have a player and you believe, when you got 10 other guys in the huddle to believe you're going to get it done, that gives you a lot of confidence, and you can breathe a little easier knowing, hey, we'll do our job. He's going to do his. And I'm telling you, that last drive by Stetson Bennett, that was some history stuff.
Yeah, the Brock Bowers throw was on a rope. Great throw to Kiaris that I think was probably the biggest gain on that drive. And then, you know, throwing at A.D. Mitchell, and I had mentioned this too, how funny to see A.D. make the plays he did. You know, obviously kind of a lost season with him dealing with injuries. But first touchdown of the season was in that end zone, in the left side of the end zone against Oregon. They throw a fade route and he scores. You know, not the same route, but he scores in that same left corner. to wind up helping Georgia win that game. And the other thing, too, I thought about, and you talked about this, Rusty, with so much history that Georgia's had in that stadium playing in Atlanta, you know, when they missed that kick last night, I thought about the kick at the end of regulation.
Same end zone.
Same end zone, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he missed it. And obviously Alabama got the last laugh, but I was like, some of this stuff just lines up and you can't help but notice it. But I want to talk too about Stetson. You know, I tweeted this, I think that was last night. I don't even know. It's all running together now. You could tell me it happened 2 weeks ago at this point. Mm-hmm. My brain's just shutting down. But there's not going to be a Stetson Bennett movie. There has to be like a series, like a Netflix series. I mean, what do you cut from it? Like, you know, that first game against Arkansas, that's not good enough. No, you got to include it. You got to just have like a 10 episode run for this guy. It is unlike anything I've ever seen. And again, he didn't play perfect, and he, you know, he admitted as much, and he talked about that. It really struck me, you know, and it's not a surprise because he's always been a really poised guy, and he always chooses his words really carefully when he's talking to the media. And he was asked, you know, is it easy at this point, like drives like that, you know, where you got to have it, and then you go out and he's 5 for 5. And he said, you know, he kind of downplayed that part of the question and just said, I got to play better. He said, there were opportunities that we missed out there. And, you know, we can't play like that if we're going to win. And I mean, just hats off to him. And I thought that was so cool after the game. You know, the cameras got to him and his younger brother, Luke.
Yeah.
And they just sat there and hugged. And I just can't imagine what that moment was like for them. Also their family. I mean, just to see that play out the way it did. Just again, whoever writes the Stetson Bennett book, you're going to be, you know, that might be like a 1,000-page book because I don't know what the heck you're going to cut when you're getting down to writing it.
The one thing I've learned about Stetson Bennett, he's a big game player. And then look, he'll go out and play in Missouri and some of these in Kentucky. And you're thinking, man, he was just so off. And I'm not in his head and I don't know what's going on. But when it's a big game, Stetson Bennett is dialed in. And he's got one more left. And, you know, again, just cannot say enough. I'm just guilty. I worked Stetson Bennett out in February of 2016. I worked him out at Lowndes High School in South Georgia. And in my notes, I wrote down, he's got a really live arm. Ball jumps out of his hand. He's really small. Zero. I gave the kid no chance of playing SEC football. But I knew he had a good arm and he was really accurate. And I was like, man, this kid's going to make a good player for somebody. Never in my wildest dreams, I think I'd say here 7 years later, talking about this kid about to play for back-to-back national championships, certainly at Georgia, but he's just different, man. He's wired different. You know, you talk about it factor, and I'll say this, the it factor for Stetson Bennett is those kids in that locker room believe in him. And when he went out last night, that's just another chapter in what he did. And you know, Georgia fans should soak this in, man, because Stetson Bennett, this is his last game he's ever going to play at the University of Georgia. He's got a chance to make history and go down as one of the best players ever, one of the best players ever to play at the University of Georgia. If he were to win this game, Stetson Bennett will probably never pay for a beverage the rest of his life anywhere in this state.
If that's not already the case, some of y'all out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. But he wins this one like his grandkids may not pay for a beverage. Once they get of age.
Yes. Stetson Bennett VI is going to be taken care of. I can promise you that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to get your thoughts, Rusty, on the defensive performance last night, because, and we had, you know, we had detailed this to death because we had a month to talk about this, but we knew Ohio State's receivers were capable of having the kind of game they had. Mm-hmm. And I mean, frankly, they had no answer for Marvin Harrison Jr. specifically, but a number of those guys. What stood out to you about the way the secondary played, and maybe takeaways going ahead? Because, you know, I still think that Ohio State offense was the best Georgia would have faced in the playoff.
I do too.
But TCU can make plays as well.
You know, and you just say this and nobody, you don't really know if they buy into what you're saying, but Jordan, you said it. I have said it in every radio interview, every TV interview, everywhere I could possibly say it. That was the most dangerous matchup Georgia could face in the playoffs. And those are one-on-one battles. And the Ohio State wide receivers are NFL players. They have a top five NFL draft pick at quarterback. And they won a lot of one-on-one battles last night. I said it yesterday morning on the Junkyard. Georgia is going to have to win a shootout. And because, you know, people were coming back at me, you know, Georgia didn't give up that many chunks. Look at Tennessee. I said, this is different machine than Tennessee. And nothing against Tennessee. Had a great year. But Ohio State was deeper. They were better on the offensive line. And they won a lot of one-on-ones. And Georgia had very little answer for Marvin Harrison. Now, Georgia on the other side, you know, pretty much lit up Ohio State's defense. So the game played out like I thought it would. I thought it would be a shootout. And the one comment I made yesterday, I trusted Georgia more in a big game. And at the end of the day, they were the last one standing. But you want to talk about blow after blow after blow from both teams. It's like a heavyweight title match. And that's what you want to see. And Ohio State, you know, tip of cap, because they are loaded with NFL wide receivers. And that's been their thing. You know, they've been like Georgia's known for tight ends right now. And certainly they played a great game. But those Ohio State wide receivers, and you have to play man. You heard Kirby last night in the press conference. He said, look, we played man. We played zone. We tried to mix it up. We tried a little bit of everything. And they did enough to win that football game. And that's all that matters. But when they walked on that field, that was going to be the opponent to me that would give Georgia the most trouble in matchups, and they did.
Get to a couple questions real quick. Primetime Dog says, what is our injury report? At this point, the two questions are going to be outside linebacker Chaz Chambliss and tight end Darnell Washington. After the game, Kirby Smart said that Darnell had an ankle sprain. They don't know if it's a high ankle sprain or a low ankle sprain. He was on crutches. We'll find out on Tuesday. We'll get a chance to talk to Kirby and see what he has to say. You know, just based on what I saw.
Yeah, man, I don't see it.
I don't either.
That's a big man. Listen, and it's just a big dude. And you start talking about 280 pounds weight bearing, even if it's not a high ankle, that's so hard to overcome. They might tape him up and do a little bit. But, you know, I haven't really dug into the tape a ton. But, again, what was the theme, Jordan? True freshman. And they throw in Oscar Delp into a situation where Oscar Delp's not running routes. He's having to block the perimeter of Zach Harrison and five stars at Ohio State defense. So he came in and did his job. It says a lot about Georgia, but my opinion right now, just my opinion, I don't see either one of those guys going in the national championship. Maybe Chaz, but Darnell, I'd be very surprised at this point.
Yeah, I think that is, again, it's just speculation on our part. We have not heard anything official, but especially with Darnell's, I think of the two, it just seems like it would be, especially with the turnaround, it's going to be asking a lot. But yeah, I mean, Oscar Delp, and you think about two, which he's played a good bit, you know, and they have a couple more veteran guys. You throw him out there in that moment, again, there's a national title on the line. And
yeah,
and I mean, he showed out, and I thought that was cool because I had talked to him on Thursday, just talking about his freshman season and stuff. And he talked about learning from Brock and Darnell and taking parts of their game. And he talked about blocking being a big part of that, learning how to block. And, well, he put those lessons to the test on Saturday, and based on what we saw, it seems like he passed.
One of the messages, I think, last night is transfer portal. Amarius Mims, I asked him straight up, listen, you went to portal, you almost left. You know, what he goes, man, I'm so glad I'm at Georgia. I'm so glad I'm fighting with my brothers. And, you know, you'll have more today on that story, but I thought it said a lot. And I also say this, you know, there was a lot of rumors and probably had a lot to it that Darnell Washington was going to leave at one time, and he winds up staying, and he's been a huge piece of the puzzle here. And, you know, if that was his last game ever playing University of Georgia, what a career he had. I know he's going to fight because, you know, he's a Las Vegas kid to play in L.A. So if Darnell Washington can go at 60%, he's going to go because he can block and do things. But, you know, the big thing worry there is this kid is a, you know, 280 pounds, 6'7". You know, you start talking about weight bearing on an ankle. That's tough for a big man to get out in space and move. But again, it comes down to recruiting, Jordan. You know, you take Darnell Washington out and you insert Oscar Delp, who many thought was, if not the number one tight end, the number two tight end in the country last year as a true freshman. And just says a lot about Georgia. Next man up, you got to do what you got to do, but it's all about Jimmys and Joes sometimes.
Couple of other question statements. Primetime Dog says, I saw Stetson play against my Crisp County Cougars with Big Cat Bryan and Quay Walker. My dad said that little QB can throw the ball. That's one of those things I'd say you're not going to forget anytime soon. Sure. The important question, Brett Steele, how is Rusty home? How did he do it? What a gamer.
I'll tell you what, I told Jordan off the air, I made a grown man business decision. As I came home last night, I pulled in my hometown at like 3:23. And that Waffle House was empty, about two seats in there. And I looked at it at the red light, and I thought, man, you know how good that would be right now. But I said, you know what, I'll just go ahead and go home. Got in bed around 4. I was up at 7 and started watching the replay, trying to get focused on what we've got to do for coverage and getting to L.A. and those types of things. So right now I'm running on adrenaline, and so don't expect anything from me from about 4 to about 8 today. I can tell you that I will be in a one-on-one match with a pillow at some point.
Yes, if Georgia wants to release any news today, that's the window to do it.
I don't think they're going to be releasing anything today. I think everybody's pretty gassed. I heard Kirby Smart say, talking about celebrations. He said, I can tell you what they're doing. Kids are going to go to sleep, what they're going to do. So,
for sure. So before we get out of here, just off the cuff, Rusty, early thoughts on TCU. I think what I saw, Georgia's like a 13-point favorite, which would be the biggest spread in the championship game since the beginning of the BCS era. But what are your initial thoughts on TCU as we get ready to start really looking at the Horned Frogs?
Well, I don't think they have the depth of Ohio State at wide receiver, but they also have a first rounder. And, you know, that's a big guy they're going to deal with. Max Duggan, the quarterback that can hurt you. Here's the thing, he likes to run. The kind of the knock on C.J. Stroud, which I think made him a lot of money last night. People said he wouldn't run the ball. You know what he did? He ran the ball last night and almost beat Georgia with his legs. So, you know, Duggan, he likes to run the ball. And here's the thing that Georgia, I'm interested in. We're going to break this down a little more. Georgia's going to face a 3-3-5, and they're going to have to study how to attack that. You don't see it a lot. That's what they do defensively. So Georgia, a little bit different what they faced, I would say, the last couple of times, last couple of games. So they'll look at that and see how they can attack it. I think for Georgia, it's who's left right now. You know, what do they do at outside linebacker? You know, if Darnell's out, you know, what do you do there in your, you know, 12 packages, you know, and those types of things. So 12 personnel and those types of things. But I think, you know, how healthy is Ladd? Because on that two-point play, and by the way, I don't know who called that two-point play, but Georgia's been using it for a while. And I guarantee Colorado State used it a couple of times. So it's probably some discussions there with Coach Monken and Mike Bobo on a 2-point play because they went into motion. They've always ran that out of trips, little arrow route basically. And it's basically a double pick is what they call that, but they don't want to call it a pick. Call that a rub route.
Yes. So rub route.
The two out, one and two rub, and three goes in a flat underneath and everybody runs that play. So, TCU, you got to tackle this quarterback. I think they're a little bit better on defense. And I'll say this. They've just found ways to win. Are they as talented 1-85 as Georgia and Ohio State? They're not. But they have found a way to get themselves to the national championship And you get a hot team like this, it's almost like facing a baseball team that gets hot at the end, and it's tough to deal with. But, you know, my early thoughts, and I'll say it yesterday, I'll say it again, I trust Georgia a little bit more in big games right now than I do anybody. This team's won 16 games in a row. You know, I looked at last night, one last thing, Jordan, since August of 2021, and Georgia's beaten Oregon. Georgia's beaten Clemson. Georgia's beaten Ohio State. Georgia has beat they beat Alabama, lost to them once. So you look at the perennial powers and what are kind of the national powers, Georgia's beat them all in a month, in a span of about 15 months. So it says a lot where Georgia is as a program and those type of things. We're going to dig so much into TCU. And Kenneth, also, let's note that Kip didn't make this. So and Kip had the shortest ride home of any of us. So Kip owes us some up downs, but this is early. But TCU, my quick thoughts on it is, how is Georgia going to attack that 3-3-5? And they got to change up a little bit. They got to count for the quarterback some, because they played a lot of man last night, ran guys off, and when they did, C.J. Stroud burned them. So TCU is going to look at that and go, we can use our legs right here. So, you know, it's the first national championship game for them. Georgia's been there, done that. I think, you know, the spread, I thought it would be around 14 or 15, and it winds up being 13. So Georgia's certainly a heavy favorite. We're going to have a ton. We'll all be in California next weekend, be live on the set and have some things out there. So we're going to have fun this week. No telling how many of these we're going to do, but appreciate everybody joining back in this morning.
For sure. And some of the cool things about this matchup, TCU's got Tymon Mitchell, who played at Georgia, transferred there. Yep. Chidera Uzodiribe, Georgia's outside linebackers coach. He was at TCU for about a month.
That's a great one. Yep. Yep. That's a great point there.
And so, yeah, it's going to be a fun one. A lot of credit due to Sonny Dykes and those guys. I mean, year one playing for a national championship, and like Rusty said, I'm
sorry. Don't give him credit this morning.
Yeah, I know. Like Rusty said, we're going to have so much content next few days, podcasts, stories, whatnot, as we get ready for this matchup.
What's going to be really cool too is, Jordan, you know, and you're right, most of these, we got so much audio because you finally get to interview kids, and I thought it was great, some of the stuff. You're going to like what Warren McClendon said about Amarius Mims. You're going to like what Amarius Mims said about Warren McClendon, and they didn't hear each other talk, so they were away from each other. Ladd McConkey talks about, you know, playing through this injury. We got Malachi Starks, all these young freshmen that we never were able to interview. We got all that content. I think everybody's going to love to finally read and kind of listen to what these kids say.
Yeah, Oscar Delp as well from a couple days ago. It's going to be no shortage of good stories, but we're going to get to work on them maybe after a nap or two. But Rusty, appreciate you popping on. Appreciate everybody for listening really on short notice as we put this together.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year. And hey, let's go get ready for a national title game. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Until next time, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.